Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right. First of all, I can't wait for us to talk to you guys about the show. We love it so much. We've been watching it now. We watched the most recent one, I think, was the last two episodes.
You're supposed to have watched all of them.
We did.
Oh, we did. Oh, we watched
several
everything.
Sessions.
Hit the road.
Yeah, but we love you. But Tim, I was going to ask you, man, I remember the first time you guys announced about the series back, I think it was Opening Night Live, you got super emotional.
Yeah.
That was a very important moment for you, you know, because I know you guys worked on this for, 3 years or so? So how was that moment for you? And now the series is actually coming out in a couple of days.
It was pretty great. But the thing that makes me get choked up is I'm so proud of the show. I think it's probably the best thing that Blur's ever done. And I love Death and Robots. I love all the trailers we do. But this one was... maybe commensurate with the amount of effort it took to make it. But I was really proud of the show and I'm so excited to put it out there. So I'm very proud of Dave.
And you're talking about how much effort it was.
Never says that unless the camera's rolling.
Well, I'd like to double click on that a little bit. You said it was like quite a bit of effort. Like what surprised you the most about this process and the challenge it was?
How people just don't immediately see the genius of my vision. and I have now.
He's joking, but it is like to convince anyone to do something different in this town is incredibly difficult. Like, so if you're like, hey, 15 disparate IPs are going to come together in celebration of gaming. Like, I think the folks are want to go like, well, what is it going to be like? And like, well, we don't have anything. Imagine like E3. In a Love, Death, and Robots forum. Like, there isn't really anything for it. So that part's challenging for sure.
Although I will say the first, I was doing a test with a friend who all had a studio. And I said, so I want to do this show that is about, it's like Love, Death, and video games. And he goes, I'll buy it.
Nice.
Like, just like that. And I looked at the person I was with who didn't think it was.
Clearly has lots of money.
I looked at the person I was with who didn't think it was a good idea, and I went,
Yeah, Rihanna, we should mention our favorite episodes.
I think so.
So mine's been switching a lot. So now my favorite one, because I just watched it recently, was the last episode, the PlayStation one.
Fulfillment.
Very, very good. I love the message, too, about just... It's all about gaming. It's not about...
Games are trapped and addict you. This is Dave's poet.
But it was a very, very powerful message. I think it was like a great way to end the series, I think. So for you?
For me, it was Pac-Man. I got to say, I was so intrigued.
You are messed up.
A little. Yeah. So I was really intrigued because I was imagining like, okay, what is a Pac-Man going to look like in this kind of Blur animation and with the storytelling behind it? And we've seen other iterations of Pac-Man in film and different things and some successful, some maybe not so much. But this just took such a different direction and that it was so obscure what I was actually seeing until I realized, oh, this is the Pac-Man one. And it just clicked. And I was like, wow, this is such a brilliant interpretation. So I just love to hear, like Danny said, what some of your favorites were.
Take it away, Dave.
I love I love both those for very different reasons. Like, playtime for me is so glad because you never know, like, hey, like underneath the story is what we're hoping to say and you hope it connects with somebody. But yes, like I love it for that reason, like, especially with a lot of PlayStation titles, they felt like adventures you go on that have like an, in like a memorable, experience with. And Pac-Man for me, that was a challenge from the developers. Bandai called and literally said to us, we would like audiences to wonder what the fuck did they do to Pac-Man?
Oh, so, wow.
And I'm not, that is the quote.
I mean, they nailed it.
Yeah.
But we could, it wasn't easy. We have this whole process that sort of is born out of Love, Death, and Robots with authors, and we pitch ideas, and all the ideas were what you expect a Pac-Man episode to be. They took a little bit of a risk, but not much. And JT Petty, our head writer, who's a big horror fan, he actually is one of the writers on the Outlast trials, the game. He went away and came back on the weekend and with the script that is the episode. Like,
wow.
So like, mm-hmm. Hats off to JT, but like it came, we were sitting in a room and we were discussing what makes Pac-Man Pac-Man. And it is a bit weird, right? This is very much this eat or be eaten thing. It's sure it's 8-bit and very colorful, but in the discussion in the room, someone said out loud, like, yeah, but you can eat them, but never their eyes. And we were like, that's fucking weird. And then, so, you know, but there are aspects of the episode that are definitely a collaborative thing with Bandai. So I'd like to take all credit for the weirdness, but it's not just.
And the directors who did it did two of the funniest Love, Death, Robots episodes, Alternate yes. Histories and When the Yogurt Took Over, which were hilarious.
Wow, very mm-hmm. different.
Yeah.
Different. Yeah.
The tone of that episode is all of, yeah, Victor Aldenada and Alfredo Torres, their director's pitch was like almost one for one what you see up on the screen. And it's weird, like, you'd never expect to find Mandy as a tonal comp for like what a Pac-Man episode would be, but they.
Yeah.
I hope you get to see more of those weird off the wall. You know, I think we were having a conversation about that. What was the game you said you would love to see?
Oh, I after seeing the Pac-Man interpretation, I was like, I really want to see them do Tetris in the next one. Like, just like how far out it can go. Because there's just so much there. And like, mm-hmm. again, it's just such a successful adaptation.
Yeah. One of my questions is, like, how was the process of pitching this to all these different publishers and studios to give, you know, the okay. You know, how was that process for you guys?
I think, you know, Blur's been around doing this for a while. So most of these folks know us and they trust us and we've been good collaborators over the years. So they know that we're not going to, you know, just take their IP and like run off into and do dark things to it.
Well, they're hoping we will.
Yeah, but in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Well, people want to take risks, but not too much risk usually. So. But I wanted to recreate the process we had with Love, Death, and Robots in that. So we got a bunch of authors to help us. And we brought the people in that had helped that and they helped us pitch, and come up with great stories. But it wasn't hard to convince the IP holders to go along with it at all.
That's great. And I mean, you're talking about how people trust you guys. They know what you're capable of and, you know, what your stretch goals might be if you're given a interesting challenge. But what about this creative relationship keeps you coming back? Because obviously you've worked together before. I'm assuming you want to do more of this. Like, what is it about that collaboration that really drives you?
I'm working with Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a
fear.
That's a therapy session. Yeah. You know, having like worked, so Tim brought me out from South Africa. Oh man, I would have been like 25 years old or something. So it was a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I like, it is difficult to find people in this town who are really genuine in like the want, like, hey, I'm going to give you a lot of freedom and I'm going to give you a lot of opportunity to take some risks. Like, and so both with Tim,
fuck it up.
And yeah. And he will remind you when you do.
Yes. I will grind it into you relentlessly.
But from my perspective, it's that, like, I don't, like, I've worked within Blur and outside of Blur, and like whether it's live action filmmaking or animated filmmaking, they are like team sports. Like, no matter, like, fairly or unfairly, a director gets to take credit for hundreds, if not thousands, of people's work. So pick your partners wisely. Like, they matter more. Like, that small cadre of of close creative advisors you surround yourself with is very, very important. Like,
I think Dave likes working with me for the very same reason that most people don't. Because I'll go and be the asshole who fights the battles and is not afraid to like ruffle some feathers.
But you need that sometimes.
Yes, you do.
I wish you didn't. I mean, I really do. I'm a nice guy. I want to be a nice guy. But sometimes people don't listen unless you get up in their grill, you know?
So. Yeah. So I remember growing up playing, my first secret level was that I discovered was Mario Brothers, the one where the warps. Yeah. That was my favorite. So do you guys have any favorite secret levels from back in days as a gamer, you know, playing? Finding that secret thing.
Wolfenstein was mine. There were a lot of little secret doors in Wolfenstein. Yeah. I can't remember. I think it was mostly turkeys or health in the Wolfenstein secret doors. But
Wolfenstein, Doom. I think there were many. Like Ultima had a lot of them. I think the most memorable was like because it took me so long to figure it out was the cow level in Diablo. I don't know if you even know.
Oh, I didn't even know.
The first one?
Yeah. Because it was all pre-YouTube days, like you actually had to figure it out, yeah. Right? Like your friend would find it and then he would tease you about it incessantly at school. So yes, and anything that sort of predated being able to just get on YouTube and figure it out was definitely, but yeah, I would say some, oh no. I think it's Doom 2 and John Romero's head, who was the core programmer, is on a spike behind like some demon's head emblazoned on a wall. Or that one. I remember that. That took me like a week to find. I remember.
See, back then for us with either magazines, we got like secrets, or we used to call like a hotline just to get, you know.
Yeah, we didn't have those in South Africa.
Yeah, see, yeah. But I was here in the States for us, you know, so.
Yeah. Collect phone calls, racking up the bills. Yeah.
The artist put a little Easter egg in the early Hell. We did some Hellgate London game, and there's this big fat boss beast that's made of all these parts, this disgusting thing that's dripping all that shit. And there's a bunch of heads on it. And of course, one of it is my head, which I didn't see until the final renders.
That is interesting.
What a lovely surprise. Well, speaking of surprises, is there anything in this entire season that like you can't wait for people to see and like you're going to be, you know, looking on Threads or Reddit or whatever to see if they figure something out? What are some secrets that you're
excited
for? Yes,
but if I loathe the fact that YouTube spoilt all those secrets, I'm certainly not going to give you any.
Okay. I tried.
I just want to see folks' reaction to it. Like, so much love went into it. Like, I really cannot wait to see. Like, I think the Pac-Man episode for me will be, I'm
sort of polarizing.
Yes, and I'm curious, like, how that audience sort of comes down on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember finishing watching that episode. We looked at each other like, wait, what? What? The whole time. That was cool. Yeah, I remember also just recently, you guys released a clip or trailer of Mega Man. And online, people were just like excited for not only the series, but also, man, I would like to play a new Mega Man game now. So how's that, hearing that from the gamers, you know, watching a clip like that, or maybe potentially the episodes are going to get them excited to not only play the classics or maybe new games in the future too.
We certainly hope so. There were, I think most of the developers and publishers had the idea that, oh, maybe this would be great if it wasn't a game that was in circulation, they would go, hey, let's make that. Maybe it would be exciting. But there was at least one person who said, oh my God, they're going to think we're making this another version of this game. And we don't want that. We don't want that feedback from the fans. And the fans are going to get upset if we're not.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching New World for the first time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I never played the game and it wanted me to, I got super curious about the game. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that are probably going to be like that. Like they'll see an episode. Yeah.
On a very practical level, we need people to the game publishers to see that this helped them sell games, you know, so that they'll want to be in the next episode. We want to see people brawl over the right to a slot in the next season. Should we get one?
Should we get one? Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I know we would like to see more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%.
So, of course, that's a look ahead to the future. But if you could time warp back to when you started pitching this project, when you were first kind of coming up with the concepts, what's something that you would have been able to tell yourself if you had a time machine about how to get this made?
It's going to take longer than I thought.
I was going to say move faster.
Yeah. Move faster.
I mean, you know, it always feels like you've got plenty of time, and then you blink and you're like, oh my God, and we're scrambling, right?
But you know, it's like with all this creative stuff, you can't. You have to be an optimist, because if you sat there and said, oh man, this is good, let's do this, but it's going to be really hard and there's going to be a bunch of stuff that goes wrong and it's going to take more money and more time, everybody would go, great, let's not do it.
The first step is convincing everybody to push out of the harbor.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm quite used to people coming back later and going, you said this was going to be easy and you said this would cost, you know, X. And I would go, well, I really do believe that, you know, and it should, but.
I don't have a lot of, we've been doing this sort of short form storytelling, whether through Love, Death and Robots or Blur, for so long. I don't think there were a lot of surprises. Like it went about as well or as bad in places where we knew it was going to go bad because we were, you know, we had to, you know, I don't know if I've ever said this in any of the interviews, but there's about 6 or 7 minutes of Warhammer on the cutting room floor that I never got to make.
Wow.
And I've been doing short form storytelling for a very long time. And I'm like, how did I make it? We didn't finish it. This is what we call pre-vis or layout. But you make all the best decisions you can along the way. But there isn't anything I regret along the way at all. I don't think if I went back and I would actually say to myself, yes, it's going to go quicker than I thought it would. It took 3 years, but I mean, it feels like yesterday.
People are not the precise instruments I wish them to be, but but still we carry on, you know?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for the interview. It was an honor. Can't wait for everybody to see this. And also,
you have a low bar.
Very important. I think people should definitely also watch the Concord episode. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like that game and the story has so much potential, and seeing it for the first time at a secret level, I'm like, damn, man,
you can see it.
I was thinking a lot about the devs, the studio, the whole time watching the episode. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for leaving it in.
Yeah.
And I think anybody who watches it, I hope they feel like at least we did honor to the artists that made the game and the artists that made our episode, because there was several hundred of them too, you know, so we couldn't not show it.
Yeah. You can see the care for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.